Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nazir is daf Tes Vav. We are on Yudal Med Beis. We are continuing from the Gemara that we left off yesterday. Thank the Lupin Foundation. Sponsorship of the daf is Lonezech and Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. A series of complicated Gemaras that we've been discussing the past couple days based on a Mishnah that we saw back on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Just to remind ourselves, the Mishnah in Yud Gimel Amud Beis dealt with a scenario where a person became a Nazir and took on another Naziris as well. He took two terms of Naziris on. And the Mishnah discusses a scenario where one of the Naziris is going to be triggered off by condition, and one of the Naziris comes out in the middle of the other Naziris. So what do you do? Do you do them in succession? Can you break one in order to the other? So the Mishnah basically says you follow the order in which you were Mekabel. If you were Mekabel, the Naziris, let's call it A and B, and you started A, so you finish A, and then you do go to B. If you took on the Naziris A and B, and you started B, why didn't you start A right away? So as we discussed already, it could be that A was put on some sort of time delay. So if you started B and then A comes and interrupts, so the big discussion we have is how do you deal with that interruption? So our Mishnah taught us back on Yud Gimel Amud Beis that the way you deal with that interruption is basically you stop. You don't stop. You pause in the middle of B, kind of like a rain delay. You pause in the middle of B. You go through A. You finish A, and then you go back to B. That's the way our Mishnah conducted this scenario. The questions that we dealt with yesterday, Rava's questions yesterday, about half a dozen questions that were asked by Rava regarding similar types of scenarios, although to be fair, as we pointed out yesterday, the questions that Rava asked were not resolved using our Mishnah. Tosus addressed that question. Tosus asked why not. Anyway, we're not going to go over the questions of Rava once again, but I will go over quickly the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish asked the following question. Let's construct the very same scenario that I just got done discussing, where he took on two terms in his zero, so it was an A and a B, and then he started the B, and then he was interrupted with A. And then he counted the A and then he went back to B. What if, this is the question that Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish dealt with, what if in the middle of the A he becomes Tamei Meis? So we know that the counting of A is going to fall away because that's what Tamas Meis does. Tamas Meis takes whatever you're in the middle of counting and just simply uproots it, upsets it, and you have to start all over again. That's a given. The question that Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish dealt with is, and we know it's going to uproot A, is it also going to uproot B? Meaning A right now is sandwiched in another Naziris. It's sandwiched within the Naziris of B. So if I become Tamei Meis, which is going to uproot A, is it also going to uproot B as well? That's the question between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Machlokes between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says it's going to uproot A and it's going to uproot B as well. The language of Rav Yochanan on the bottom of Yudal Amud Aleph is that the way he views it is Chada Nazirus Arichtahi. Because the way we look at A and B is that it's one elongated Nazirus. Okay, so that's Rav Yochanan's position. On the other hand, Reish Lakish says no. Reish Lakish says that we're going to view them as two independent Naziris. It is an oddity that you're observing one Naziris within the other Naziris, but when all said and done, they are two different Kabbalahs, or two different acceptances of Naziris, and as a result of that, they're going to be deemed as two different Naziris. So just because your A Naziris got upset does not mean that your B Naziris is going to be affected. Okay, then the Gemara pointed out on the top of Yudal Amud Beis that we do find a very similar machlokas, almost identical machlokas, where let's say in the middle of your Naziris you become a Mitzorah. Mm-hmm. So a person becomes a Mitzorah in the middle of Naziris, so imagine the theological questions he's asking. I become a Nazir, and now I have Tzaras, I don't understand. Okay, you're not supposed to understand. not everything is to be understood. So the...
One is voluntary, one is...
Yeah, okay, good, or whatever. And then the halacha is, as we went over yesterday, is that as a Nazir who's a Mitzorah, so you have to break, you have to take a pause. You can't keep counting. However, it's not Tumas Meis. You're not gonna lose that which you counted, but once again, you're going to go into this rain delay of, we're just going to wait. We're going to wait out the Tzaras. I mean, you don't wait it out. You know, you have to be Matar yourself and the Karbanos to bring, but then and only then can you recount. And once again, the question... Basically, the same question. You know, slight differences between this one, but the question is, let's say during your rain delay of Tzaras, you become exposed to Tumas Meis. So now, you're not counting your Naziris, but you're in the middle of your Naziris. It's a fun question. Fun, meaning, you know, You're not counting your Naziris, but you're in the middle of your Naziris. So, when you come into contact with Tumas Meis, is that going to upset your Naziris, yes or no? And it's the same Machlokas. Rav Yochanan says, yes, it will, because you're in the middle of your Naziris. You're not counting your Naziris, but you're in the middle of your Naziris, and therefore, it's going to upset your Naziris. And Reish Lakish says, no. Reish Lakish says that as long as you're in rain delay, as long as you're not counting, your Tumas Meis, your exposure to Tumas Meis, is not going to upset your previous counting days of Naziris.
Be a little different here.
Right, Mitch, I agree. I totally agree with you. It's not the right. So I suggested yesterday chadar richt and naziris doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to mold the two together. It just means as long as you're in one, so it's going to upset it. But okay, I agree with you. Okay, and then the Gemara yesterday went over. Why do I need both cases? The Gemara gave it srichusa for both cases. We go on. In the Gemara, this is now new for us. We did not see this yesterday. We are towards the top of Yudam and Beis. And we are beginning with the words today of Nitma B'Yom Gidol Se'ar. A person becomes Tame on the Yom Gidol Se'ar. What is going on over here? So Tosfos explains like this. Now, there are other explanations of the Gemara, but I'm going to stick with Tosfos. That's usually the story I stick with. Not story, but we go with Tosfos' explanation. The Gemara goes like this. Tosfos says, here's what happened. A person is accepts Naziris, and let's make it nice and simple. For 30 days, he accepts Naziris. What happens? A day or two or a week into Naziris, doesn't really matter, but basically he's grabbed by a bunch of listim, a bunch of bullies, and they force him to get a haircut. Okay. He's a Nazir, but he didn't do it on his own. They forced him to get a haircut. Okay, now what? So now, doesn't take away the days that he counted, meaning the days that he counted are perfectly good days. But the problem, of course, now is that when he gets to the end of his Naziris, his hair is not going to be long enough. As we've said time and again, it's one of the basic rules of Taglachas. In order for it to be successful Taglachas, it has to be a minimum 30-day growth. So it's going to be now, his conclusion, Naziris is going to end awkwardly. And when I say awkwardly, I mean that although he counted 30 days and now as far as the counting of his Naziris is concerned, good. He gets a check. Problem is now, he can't bring his karbanos because he can't do tiglachas. He can't shave his head. And so therefore, what he's going to have to awkwardly do now is just wait until his hair grows back. Hair growing back meaning a 30-day growth from the time that he got his forced haircut. Okay.
During which he's not going to have wine.
Right. During which he won't be able to drink wine, and he can't be tamel meis. No, he didn't bring the karbanos, but it won't upset. In other words, he counted his naziris. Okay, so again, so that it's a very strange period in time. Meaning his days were counted, he successfully counted his days, but now, in order to get back into the haircutting, the wine, the cemetery, so he's going to need to bring the karbanos. But him exposing himself to Tumas Meis, or him getting a haircut, is not going to, well, the haircut never upsets the days prior, but him going to the cemetery is not going to take away the days, because he counted the days.
So
we'll see later on this morning. The answer is no, he's not. He's not allowed to go to the cemetery, but it won't. Okay, right. It won't. Correct. Okay, so this is what we're describing right now, and basically now that we have the case set up, again according to Tosfos, I'm just presenting like Tosfos. Now we have the case set up. So now let's go forward. So Nitma B'Yom Gidol Se'ar. So let's say now during these days he becomes Tamei Lameis. Okay, Rav Amar Eino Soser. Now Rav's of the opinion that it's not going to take away from the days that he counted. I feel Rav Yochanan Damar Soser, because look, even if you are invested into the position of Rav Yochanan, who previously said that it's Soser, Hani Milech Dekai B'Naziris, that's because you're in the Naziris, you're counting the Naziris. Now again, you're on rain delay, like we discussed in the previous two cases, but still, when all said and done, you're in the Naziris, you're inside the counting. So there, Rav Yochanan is going to make the argument that if you become Tamei Lameis, it's going to undo it. Over here, your counting is finished. Now again, for circumstances that were beyond your control, you couldn't shave and you couldn't bring your karbanos yet, but when all said and done, you're after your Naziris. Before the karbanos, but after your Naziris. So Rav says that I'm going to argue that even according to Rav Yochanan, this is not going to undo your days. So, Hechzekai ben Naziris, Gidol Se'ar Mashem Nazirisu. as opposed to these days of just simply hair growing. That's what these days are. You've already finished your Nazirus. Period. Ushmul Amar Soser, and Shmuel takes the other side of this argument. Shmuel says no. Shmuel's of the opinion that in the event that he becomes tummy during this hair growing days, after he finished counting, but he's still waiting for his hair to grow back, so then, and he becomes tummy lames, it is going to upset the previous days. And Shmuel says, and look, I'm even ready to argue it, even according to Reish Lakish. I feel the Reish Lakish Amrein Soser. Now, it's true Reish Lakish previously said it's not going to be Soser, but Hasam Shtei Nezirus. But over there, the reason why Reish Lakish said that it's not going to be Soser is because there were two separate Nezirus. Granted, one was within the other, but when all said and done, there were two separate Nezirus. But Hacha Chad Nezirus, but over here it's one Nezirus. Again, it's a harder position to argue, right? It's a harder position to argue because the Nezirus is over in the sense that he finished counting, but still, the fact that you didn't bring the Karbanos is supportive of the idea that you're still connected to this Nezirus to the extent where if you become Tamil Mason, it's going to upset all your days. Okay, so Machlok is Rav and Shmuel as to whether what happens in the event that he becomes Tamil Mace after he finished counting, but before he brought his Karbanos. Next. I'm Rav Chisa HaKomodim, Shem Kidesher Bedam Ein Lo Tekana. And finally, one more point to make regarding these halachas, these very unusual halachas, is that unusual just simply because we're not going to see these come. I don't think Rav is going to be getting these kinds of shilas anytime in the foreseeable future, but hopefully things will change in the not so distant future. I'm Rav Chisa HaKomodim. Rav Chisa says, look, here's where everyone agrees. Shem Kiddushar Bedam. That let's say the words translate literally as your hair becomes holy with blood. Okay, literally, of course, that means nothing. So once again, I'm going to explain like Tosso. So before I do so his ruling is on such a scenario, ain lo takana. And he says, and what do you do? There's nothing you can do. So what's happening over here? So if you take a look at Tosos once again, Tosos explains that what happened over here is as follows. He finished counting his days of Nezirus. In fact, not only did he finish counting his days in Nezirus, he set aside the Karbanos that he's going to bring, three Karbanos that are brought by a Nazir at the conclusion of his Nezirus. And let's go even one step further. And let's say we shechted the Karbanos. Okay. Now, the process which we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta is that after shechting the Karbanos, then you shave your head, you take the hair, and you put it under the pot, and it cooks underneath the pot of the Shlamim. Okay, that's the that's part of the mitzvah. So here now, after the shechting of his karbanos, but before the shaving of his head, it was at that time, that unfortunate time now, that he comes into contact with Tumas Meis. To which Rav Chisda says, we have full agreement that at that point in time, ein lo tekana, there's nothing he could do. Nothing he could do, to which the Gemara immediately tries to clarify that point of ein lo tekana, there's nothing they could do. As Tosfos points out, right now the Gemara thinks, ein lo tekana means he's stuck. Meaning he's going to be in perpetual Nezirus for the rest of his life. To which the Gemara immediately clarifies, and the Gemara says that cannot be. Aliba daman, I aliba the Rebbe Eliezer kevin damar tikalachas ma'keves toch melosi. So velistor. So the Gemara says, you know, the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer is that tikalachas ma'keves, that the idea, not the idea, but the detail of shaving your hair for the Nazir is such an important part of the whole process. It's critical. It's ma'akev. Meaning that if you don't do that, then you have not successfully gone through the process of karbanos. Now mind you, Tosfos points out over here, we're not talking about taking away all the days. Because if we're at the point where you bring karbanos, you finish counting all the days. After you finish counting all the days, that's it. They're counted. Over here, we're talking about the haircut being essential. It means it's essential towards the karbanos process for the bringing of the karbanos. So, if you broke karbanos but you didn't shave your hair, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, do it again. Not count again, but do the karbanos again. So the Gemara says, it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's ma'akev. So, toch malosi v'lister. So, therefore, the Gemara says, what did Rav Chisda mean when he said, ein lo takana, there's nothing you could do? Sure, there's something you could do. Go out, get three more animals, bring the karbanos, and shave your hair again. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, no problem. And now, l'aliba de Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, what are we doing? We're subscribing to the opinion of the Chachamim. Gemara says we're going to see this later in the Masechta, and that is according to the Chachamim, Teglachas Lo Ma'akevas. It's a mitzvah to shave, for the Nazir to shave his hair after the bringing of the three Karbonos. But that's it. It's a mitzvah. It's the right thing to do. It's a commandment. He's supposed to do it. But it's not ma'akev. It's not critical. So the Gemara says, so according to the Chachamim, I certainly don't understand Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Ein lo takanot, there's nothing he can do. There's nothing he needs to do. Meaning he brought the Karbonos. He didn't shave his hair. He should have shaved his hair, but it's not critical according to the Chachamim.
What do they require to say hair growth if it's not that important?
It's not that it's not that important. It's important.
It's
required as well. It's just not critical. Meaning it won't I know. It sounds like
part of the rest of Korbanot, some of our essential.
Yes. Agreed. So the Rabbanan Namri Teglachas Namakevas, La'olam Aliba the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, look, what Rav Chisda meant is as follows. We're just going to change our understanding of what Rav Chisda meant. He says he subscribes to the viewpoint of the Chachamim. The shaving is not essential. It's a mitzvah. You're supposed to do it. You're fulfilling God's word if you do so. But if you don't do so, it's not going to... The karbonos that you brought were successful. Well, my ein lo takana, what does it mean, ein lo takana? Ein lo takana la mitzvah giluach. It means that... that's it. Missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. You can never go back and say, you know... Can I get a do-over on the bring of the Karbonos my Naziris? Because I got to be honest, for whatever reason, I didn't shave my head. For whatever reason. So, no. In other words, you brought the Karbonos, it worked, according to the Chachamim. And what happens? You missed a mitzvah opportunity that you're never going to get back. That's what he meant by Ein Lo Takana.
Why okay. Didn't you just wait 7 days and have him shave his head and then bring the hair for a throwing a floor?
Meaning he's done. Once he brought the three karbanas, it's over.
So it's not ma'akev. Even according to Rabbi Elazar, it's not ma'akev.
According to Rabbi
Elazar,
according to Rabbi Elazar, you do bring the karbanas again. So that's why the Gemara. That's why the Gemara was bothered with the lashon vein lo takana.
You're zorik the dam the first.
Yeah, you're zorik the dam, but he didn't do the teglachas. So according to Rabbi Elazar, okay, fine. So just bring the karbanas again.
So what are the karbanas for?
The Karbanos should have been for his Naziris, but because he didn't do the Tekalachas, it didn't work. And he's got to do it again. Okay. That's a later question. I'm Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Nazir Shekalo. I think the Gemara does discuss that. Okay. I'm Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Nazir Shekalo Yamav, Lokal Atumavein, Lokal Atekalachas. So again, let's go over something which we've gone over already a couple times this morning, and that is, You finish counting. That's it. Your count is done. Now, at that point in time, it is incumbent upon you to go into the Beis HaMikdash, bring three karbanos and shave your head and put the hair under the pot and basically go through the karbanos portion of the conclusion. But, when all said and done, you finish counting. Okay? And that means now that your Naziris is finished. You still have the karbanos you need to bring. Now what we're going to be discussing is, so during the period of the finish of the counting and the bringing of the karbanos, so what can you do and what can't you do? So let's follow the Gemara. The punchline is going to be, you can't do anything. Meaning you can't do anything another can do. That's the punchline. But before we get to the punchline, I'm Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Nazir Shekalo Yamav. So a Nazir that concluded his days, Lokal Atumaveinu, Lokal Atiglachas V'lo Alayayin. So his position is that if your days are finished, even though you haven't yet brought your karban, you will get malchus for tuma. Meaning, if you go to a cemetery or any exposure to tuma's mace is going done so deliberately and intently, knowing that you're not allowed to, so it's going to result in malchus. However, if you drink wine or you get a haircut, you're not going to get malchus. Now, that language of not getting malchus seems to indicate that it's not right, just not punishable. Or maybe you can argue it's not right, it's not punishable, and it's also okay. But whichever way you want to explain it, all in all said and done, as we'll see in just a moment, this is not a viewpoint that we're going to end up subscribing to. But so Shikalo Yamav Lokal Atuma Ve'Ino Lokal Ateglachas V'Lo Alayayin Ma'ishna Tuma Delaki. To which the Gemara says, I'm not following this whole discussion. Meaning, if he finished his count and he goes and exposes himself to Tumas Mace, and he's going to get malchus. So that means that he's still bound by his Naziris. So why would there be any differentiation between no Tumas Mace, but, you know, it's okay to wine and haircuts are fine. Gemara says, what's the difference? Maisha and Tumah Delaki. Dam across the Gemara says, Kol Yamav, Hei Zirul Hashem. The word Kol is a ribui. Say this time and again throughout the Gemara. You see the word Kol, it means it's coming to exclude extra days. What does it mean, Kol Yamei Nizro? Or I should read the pasuk better. Kol Yamei Hei Zero. Right? All the days of him being a Nazir. So what's the Kol coming to include? L'Rabbos Yom Shalach Malos. It means those days after you finish counting. Now again, what you should be doing the day immediately after you finish counting is you should bring the Karbanos. Understood. But over here, he didn't. So what becomes of those days? It's post-count, pre-carbon, so you are kayamim shalofne malos. So they're going to be like the days prior to you finish your counting. So the Gemara says, great, I hear you, but then I don't understand differentiation. So why is it that you're going to get malchus for coming to contact with Thomas Mace, but not for wine, not for haircut? The Hamer Rachmana call you main nizro tar lo yavar rasho. So lasos yamim shalachem los ki yamim shalof nemos. And furthermore, Gemara says I have psukim. The Torah says kol yamein nizro. Once again, you have the word kol tar lo yavar rasho. You can't put a razor to his head. And once again, you have the word kol. And kol is coming to include not only the days that he's counting, but even the days that post count days. Again, post count, pre carbon. So Vistu, and furthermore, Kol Yamin Nizro Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin Lasos Yamim Shalach Malos Kiyamim Shalach Malos. And once again, the Gemara says, "Here we go. I don't understand. We have the word Kol as it relates to drinking wine and any grape product, and we have and the word Kol is coming to tell me that any days post count, pre carbon, are going to have the same status as during the count." Now, by the way, even when we say same status, of course it's not exactly the same, because it doesn't upset the days that he counted, but still, you're going to get malchus. So Shani Hachadam Rechmanos, so the Gemara is still trying to defend the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, who does make a differentiation between Tumas Meis versus wine and haircut. So Shani Hachadam Rechmanos, Vitame Rosho Nizro, Misha Nizro Talulo Birosho. So the Torah says that his v'tamei rosh nizro, literally his head is going to become tamei, and to which the Gemara darshan's the pasuk, when your nazirus is connected to your hair. What does that mean? Your nazirus is connected to your hair, meaning that you finish counting, and the only thing you have not yet done is you haven't shaved off your hair. Why haven't you shaved off your hair? Because you haven't brought karbanos. Meaning you're in the interim period between the finish of the count and the bringing of your karbanos. And what does the Torah say? Vitamei, meaning that he is still bound in the Torah not to become tamei. When all said and done, the Gemara did defend Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina, but when all said and done, the Gemara ends up rejecting. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges with a brisa. Nazir shekalo yamav, a Nazir who finishes counting his days of Naziros. Aser legalech, velishtos yayin, ulatam lemesim. He cannot do the three Naziros prohibitive activities. V'im gilech, v'shas yayin, v'nitma lemesim. And if he does any one of those three, harizeh sofeg esarabayim, he has to go through Malkus. Tiyufta. Gemara says, okay, even though we tried to defend Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina, when all said and done, the Gemara quoted a brisa. The Gemara punctuated the discussion with Tiyufta. Even after you're finished counting, you're still bound by the Torah not to come into contact with Thomas Meis, not to drink wine, not to get a haircut. If you do so, you're subject to Malkus, just like if you were during your Malos. The only difference, of course, is that after you finish counting, you finish counting. So if you come into contact with Thomas Meis, you don't have to go and count again, but you still can't come into contact with Thomas Meis until you bring the carbon. The only time you're going to get a Malkus is only if it was intentional. Aiden, warning, right? All the due process. Okay.
What about the social media call?
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? No, the other psukim are supportive of the brisa,
right?
The Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina was a more difficult shot. Okay. All right. We start the mission now on Tetzvav Amud Aleph. Okay. Admittedly, when you turn back to the mission, you give Amud Beis, and you look at our mission Tetzvav Amud Aleph, they're going to seem very similar, and yet there's going to be a major difference between the two. And we're going to make an attempt to explain how come it's different. But first, let's go through the Mishnah, and if you remember what we learned 2 days ago, so you will realize right away, hey, this is not the same. Hareini Nazir lechishieli ben. Starts very similar to the previous Mishnah. Person takes on Nazirus when I have a son. Okay. V'nazir me'ayom. And on top of that, he also accepts upon himself to be a Nazir for 100 days. Okay, good. So, this person now is taking on two terms of Nazirus. Already Phil sees a major difference between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. He doesn't say the magical word of me'achshav. Okay, good. So now, the Mishnah gives us the following ruling. V'nolad lo ben. And while he's serving his 100-day Nazirus, so Baruch Hashem, Akash Baruch Hu, gave him and his wife a baby boy. So Ad Shivim Lo Hifsid Klum. So if let's say the baby boy came up to day 70, so he has not lost anything, which I'll explain in a moment better what that means. La'achar Shivim. Now after 70 days. Now we have in our Mishnah the next two words are Soser Shivim, but Tosa says let's take out the words Shivim and let's just leave the word Soser. And again, as you'll see with our explanation, why it is that Tosa does not like the word Shivim and he takes it out. So La'achar Shivim Soser She'ein Teglachas Pachos Mishloshim Yom, because shaving cannot be done any less than 30 days.
Okay.
So now Tosus says, let us explain this Mishnah, and after having explained the Mishnah, then we're going to have to explain the difference between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. If you're looking for Tosus right now, it's going to be a bit tricky if you keep on this page, because Tosus is not found on this page. Tosus, for publication reasons, which I don't understand, but whatever, Tosus is found back on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So let's take a turn back to Tosos, back on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and let's see how Tosos takes us through this Mishnah, explains our Mishnah. Hareini Nazir Kishiali Ben. It's the top Tosos on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, which is relevant to our Mishnah, which is actually explaining our Mishnah. By the way, it could just simply be that these two Mishnayos were, you know, are joined. They're really part of one Mishnah, and so the publisher of the Gemara just simply, you know, put this Tosus over here because really this Mishnah is just an extension of the previous Mishnah. But either way, Tosus goes like this: Perish. Stam nizirus avishloshim yom v'nazir me'ayom nizirus enafshei v'hashenami kibel nizirus debeno bereisha v'hischol limnos nizirus de nafshei kuf yom. Okay, so Tosus says, sets us up and basically says like this. You know, Stam Nazirus is 30 days. That we're familiar with. And on top of that, he also took on an additional 100-day Nazirus, having nothing to do with his son. It's Nazirus to Nafshei. That's just his own personal Kabbalah. Okay, Tosus says, and it's important also to point out, that the Nazirus of his son was taken on first. Okay, so very similar to the previous Mishnah. It's an A and it's a B. And then he started counting his personal Nazirus of 100 days, and then his son was born. Now watch carefully as Tosus explains our Mishnah, or listen carefully, or both. Ad shivim v'yom shivim nami bechlal lo hifsid klum. Quoting the Mishnah, if he had the boy up to and including day 70, he has lost nothing. Tosus says, perish. Achresh nizirus beno shel shloshim yom muv la'im toch kuf yom. Since the 30 days that he's going to have to observe for now at the birth of his son is subsumed in the remaining 30 days that he has for his own personal Nazirus, Adayin Depiresh V'lachein, it's just a small editing of the Tosos that you find on the side of the Tosos, V'lachein Amrinan Hani Kuf Yom Olim L'Nazirus Debeno V'gam L'Me'a Yom D'Nafshei. And so here we have an opportunity to double dip. So what now he can do is, in the remaining 30 days of his Nazirus, he can count those days and count them two times over. Count them for his own personal Nazirus, where he's gone through 70 of them already, so he can count the remaining 30 for his own. And furthermore, he can also count them for his son as well. Now Tosus notes, wait a second, the Nazirus that he had for his son, that's the A Nazirus. What did we learn in the previous Mishnah? You got to stop. you have to pause in the middle of your binaziros in order to comply with your einaziros. We did say that before. Afilo hachi kevin deshal beno muvlaim betoch hamea yom olam leshal beno uleshalo v'yashem hamea yom v'galech hashneim v'yavish nei karbanos. So Tosu says, but over here, you're allowed to double dip. Why? Because since anyway, you have 30 days of your own remaining, so therefore you have the entitlement to double dip, and you can count these days both and apply them both to your own remaining 30 days of yours and to your sons as well. So basically the rule is, and I'm not sure I fully understand why, but basically the rule is that as long as you have a balance on your Naziris that incorporates both what you have left and your A Naziris, so Tosus says under those circumstances you could double dip. And you can apply the next days towards both.
Is he going to bring one set of Korbanos?
Two.
V'hu adin, give me a moment. It's a good question, just give me a second. V'hu adin la'el ki ama harini nazik sheyeli ben v'nazir v'yitzchilim nosa shalo imnolo ha-ben l'minyano b'yamechad osam shoshin yom olim hayu livno latzmo kevin d'shabano muvla b'shal atzmo d'ividi lamed yom. So Tosus points out, you know, in the previous Mishnah, it could have also worked out where the two of them basically are going to be going starting at the same point, meaning that the birth of your son could also be on the very same day that you started counting your own Naziris. And then Tosfos says, applying this rule, that as long as the balance of your days that you need to count also include your other Naziris as well, so then you can apply to both. V'davka ki kabel Naziris debno bereisha. And Tosfos says, but with just one other detail that's involved in this, and that is that you have to accept the nazirus of your son first. Which means that because that was your A nazirus, so you had the requirement to count the A nazirus first. Now again, you're not counting it first because your son wasn't born yet, but at least you are on the hook for it first. But Tosus points it out that if you accepted upon yourself first the 100 day nazirus, and then your second acceptance was, and I will do a 30 day term for the birth of my son, so then Tosus says, so then we're not going to talk about double dipping. I feel there you are following the order in which you accepted the zeros. You accepted the 100, you got to comply, you got to fill up the 100. Then and only then, even if you had an opportunity to count your son's zeros, meaning, I say son, I mean the birth of your son, even if you had a chance of counting them during your own Naziris, but over here you took it on as A and B, you're counting it as A and B, start A, finish A, and then go to B. Mashin Naziris Kofi, Yigalech V'yavi Karban Naziris O. Vishuv Yasin Naziris Livno, Lamed Yom V'galech, Lamed Yom V'yavi Karban. Okay. Adkan, that is the way Tosus explains it. So, there is a chance, there's an opportunity to double dip. To take a count and apply to two committed Naziris. But in other words, Tosus gives us two basic, if you want, provisos to this opportunity. Number one is that there has to be a balance where I'll be able to fill out both. Right? It has to be minimum 30 days. Balance.
Why is it different from when somebody says Harei Nazir, Harei Nazir, he has to get two consecutive Nazirus?
So good. So it's perfect. So it fits in now with the second detail. And the second detail is that the only time you could double dip is where you took it on as AB, you started B, and again,
son.
The reasons why you started B first is because your son wasn't born yet. You started B, and now you have A coming in. So now that A is coming in, now that you're dropping A in, and anyway you were mekabel A before B, obviously, that's why it's called A, you're mekabel A before B, then and only then can you now take these remaining days, has to be a minimum of 30, and apply it to both your B Naziris that you're currently counting, and your A Naziris, which anyway you needed to count first.
And in the case, two components.
Right.
Case, because he says the Yovai Korbanos in a singular, and on the second case. So in the first case, he has to make two, obviously.
I would assume so.
Yeah, it's what it says.
Yeah. Okay. So now.
Like one haircut.
Yeah.
About two
right. Correct. Right. All right. Now, If all that was hopefully clear, let's go now back to our Mishnah. Now that we learned the Mishnah, oh, and by the way, I mean, just spell it out without going through the Tosfos. And then what happens if the son is born after day 70? Well, if the son is born after day 70, now you have no opportunity to double dip. Because now I don't have enough days remaining in my Nazirus where I can count both of them and finish off both of them at the same time. So therefore, under those circumstances, I'm going to have to...
Right.
I'm going to have to interrupt my own Nazirus, do the son's Nazirus, and then go back and finish off my own Nazirus.
And not shave for the son.
And then we'll get back to that, you know, that funny discussion we had in the previous Mishnah in terms of what do you do with that, you know, with the lack of 30-day growth. But okay, or not shave. Okay, that was the first opinion of the Rosh. Okay, good with all that stated. Now that we went through the Mishnah, let's go through the Gemara, because here now things are going to get a little trickier. Amar Rav, Yom Shivim Ole Lekan Ulekan. Rav says that, look, let's get to day 70. Okay, so again, the case is he took on a 100-day Naziris. Okay, let me say it better and more accurately. The case is that first he took on a Nazirus that he's going to have a 30-day term in Nazirus if and when his son is born to him. And he then took on a second Nazirus of 100-day Nazirus. Okay. He started counting his 100-day Nazirus. And then he gets to day 70. So the Mishnah says that if the baby is born on day 70, so good. He can now finish counting 30 more days and apply them to both of his commitments. Rav says, day 70 counts for both. What does that mean, day 70 counts for both? So once again, we turn to Tosfos. We're on Tezvav Amad Aleph, where the second Tosfos is on the Amud. I'm Rav Shivam, O lo, lekan lekan perish. No, lo, ben biyom, ayin. If the baby is born on the 70th day, nixas ayom shekodim haleda, O lo, leminyan hameya. So, that we could take that day 70 and we could chop it right in half, because the first part of that day, so when he wakes up in the morning on day 70 prior to the birth of his son, so that counts as day 70, meaning good, he gets a check for counting that day. But then here's what we can do as well: we can give a second check for that day, because what's happening later that day? Later that day he had a son. And that son is born now, and he's counting that towards his second Naziris. So he's giving himself a second check. So although normally on his Naziris calendar, he's going to be doing one check a day, on that day 70, he actually is going to be able to give himself now two checks.
We had this discussion before.
Correct, based on the principle, mixes a yom kikulam, or mixes a yom shachar later all the tchilas and nazirus. V'lo yimna nazirus b'no ella ad chavtes yom. Harei b'yom study test shelo lamed levno. Now, if you're following the calendar, and maybe it's a good exercise, but you know later on you'll make up this calendar that this particular nazir has. But what's going to end up happening is that now on day 99, where is he now? In other words, because he gave himself two checks on day 70, on day 99, he has now completed 30 days of the Nazirus of his son. V'nafka mina hashta, sheyom ayin ola lekan ola kan, sheyucha legalech biyom hameya. And now that means that what happened? That his son gifted him a day off from his Nazirus. Because now that he gave himself two checks on day 70, and now day 99 turns into day 30, from day 70. So now that means that when you get to day 100, he can bring the karbanos and shave. You see, if his son wasn't born, what would have been the halacha? The halacha would have been 100 days means 100 days. Now, remember we had a machlokus not that long ago, all right, as to whether or not, when you say 100, do we say mixas yom kikulo? The bottom line is, the halacha is that when you say 100 days, you have to count 100 days, even when subscribing to the idea of mixas yom kikulo, and you can only bring the karbanos on day 101. It's plain, simple, that's the halacha. Okay, for reasons which we touched on earlier in the Masechta. But now that he had a son in day 70, and because it afforded him the opportunity to give himself two checks, one prior to the son being born, one after the son being born, so now day 99 is the conclusion of his Nazirus. Done.
But I understand that, and I understand.
My check visualization makes this even funnier. Not funnier, but like it makes it clear what we're doing over here. We are counting day 70 as 2 days. Yeah.
For the
so
first,
you should do the same thing for all of the days of the 3 days because you have one of yours and one of the son.
No, but
you should do double.
Yeah, but
in 85 days, you're done.
I understand. But the difference between day 70. Okay, look, the difference, what I'm going to say is obvious, but if it clarifies, great, and if not, then I tried. The difference between day 70 and 71 is on day 70, there was a part of the day where there was no sun, and there was a part of the day where there was a sun. So when he woke up in the morning on day 70, and there was no sun, but he checks himself, you have the principle of Mixas Yom Kukulo, he checks himself because it is day 70 of his 100-day count. But now, later that day, his son is born, Mazel Tov.
So
now that's the first day of his sons. And remember, we had the opportunity to count. But what do you mean it's the first day of his son? He already counted day 70. Exactly, says Rav. He already counted day 70 and he can count it again. I told you, the mission was the easy part.
It's part of the second zero that is counted.
It's now part of...
So it's the second day of his son born. If the son wasn't there, he's one. Because of the son, has two.
Right, correct.
So 85 days should be done.
No, because no. Every day after that, when he wakes, correct. Every day after that, when he wakes up in the morning, he is counting, but he can't give himself two checks because it is both. It is his own Nazirus, and it's also the Nazirus for his son being born. As opposed to day 70, part of the day was his own Nazirus, and the other part of the day, his son was born.
But the thing is, the principle of Mishnah actually comes at the end,
yes.
Not in the middle.
Agreed. Or in this case...
Here is 70, you're counting...
Agreed. It is a very interesting application of the principle of Mixas Yom Kukulo agreement. Okay, so now... Wait. We just...
I understand if you count the 70, the first day of the sun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now count 30 days. How do you get... When you get to 29 days later, it's still 29.
Again,
how do you get 30?
I'm telling you, just do the count. Do the calendar.
Yeah,
70 is day one. If 70 is day one,
right.
Meaning if 71 were day one, so then you get to 100.
70 is day one.
Yeah, so good. So 70 is day one for the sun. So then 30 days later is 99.
30 days, 99.
Okay. Yeah. The math works.
But the sun, he gets to 30 days.
Yeah.
The sun's 29 days.
Okay. So good. So now, with all that stated, so now Amrav, let's do it again. Amrav, I'm sorry. Yom Shivim Olakan Lakan Tanan. So the Gemara says, okay, let's see if this works. Meaning, just let's read the Mishnah. No, lo ad shivim lo yifsid klum. So the Mishnah says that if the son is born ad shivim until the 70th day, so he hasn't lost. So the Gemara says, you know, what do you mean he hasn't lost anything? Why doesn't the Mishnah make the better point, which is he gained? In other words, right? You go to your investor and he says, you know, you didn't lose, and meanwhile you gained. The better news would be, hey, you know, you earned a little bit. Yeah, right. So why doesn't the Mishnah give us the bigger point, which is you gained a day? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Apologies. What I did is I explained the next point of the Gemara. So Oh no, we're good. I'm sorry, we're good. So, sorry, I got confused myself. So shivim sosa shav v'shivim ketani reisha shivim. I'm sorry. Ad shivim v'mishum diktani seifa achar shivim sosa shivim ketani reisha shivim. I'm sorry, shivim. Fine. Tashma. Gemara says again. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Mi seifa. No lad achar shivim. The baby was born after the 70th day. Sosa shivim. So you lose it. So my acher. Tosus explains. Here's what bothers the Gemara. Look. What did our Mishnah teach us? If the baby's born on day 70, you're okay. What bothers the Gemara is, it's really not day 70. It's really day 70, meaning if the Mishnah wanted to give us the biggest chiddush, the Mishnah really should have said day 71. Because let's consider. Let's say the baby's born on day 71. According to Rav, what does 71 count as? He gets two checks. One check for waking up in the morning and counting his own as zeros. And then he gets a second check for his son being born on day 71. We should be good, shouldn't we?
But that's going to be 100.
Which is what he committed himself to doing. Meaning, if we're going to use the principle of Rav, you won't get an extra day. Right. But you certainly won't lose. Meaning, again, let's go back to Tosus's rules. Tosus's rules of double dipping is that you're allowed to double dip as long as the balance of both of them are going to terminate within one another. They're move lime zebetok ze. Over here, if the baby's born on day 71, you should be good. Because baby's born day 71, you count that now as day 1, and you got 30 more days to go. I'm saying 30 more days, including the 71st day. So what bothers the Gemara now is, why did the Mishnah put the cutoff point at day 70? Shouldn't the Mishnah be putting the cutoff point at 71 and not day 70? So my achar. So what the Gemara tries to argue now, it's a tough argument, but what the Gemara tries to argue is that, you know, when it said after 70 days, it didn't mean after 70 days, it means after 70 days. Meaning that really the magical number is really 71. Meaning if the baby's born day 71, you're good. You can now double dip for the next 30 days. And if the baby's born on day 72, then you're not good. That's really what the Mishnah means. And again, that is a difficult pshat in the Mishnah, but the Gemara argues.
What if the baby is born on day 60?
So then you're good. Then for sure you could double dip now.
No, but the thing is, he's not going to finish.
They're not going to finish at the same time. But as long as they're move lime, as long as one is, they're both subsumed within one another. So then you should be fine. Okay. Ava acher mam. I'm sorry. Shivan sosa shivan. My acher. Ava acher mamish my. Hachinami de lo sasoy hachi my irya. Denin olad ad shivim. Lo yif se klud. Afil acher shivim nami. Hamar lo sasar. Elosh mamina acher mamish. So the Gemara still argues that no, achar means achar mamish. V'chein masnitzin l'rav shmamina. So the Gemara, v'chein masnitzin l'rav shmamina. The Gemara says it's really hard to argue. It's very difficult to argue that the Mishnah means anything other than after 70. So the Gemara says that, in achinami, you're right. The Mishnah, our Mishnah is not going to be supportive of Rav. And so what we're going to be doing for the remainder of this daf, really for the remainder of the perek, is what we're going to try to do is find a source for Rav's halacha. Again, Rav takes this position that mikzas yom kikulo allows us to take a day and to count it two times over. So let's start now. Okay, I don't want to fall more behind than we already are. So let's at least go through one, and then we'll conclude for today. V'rav kaman amar l'shmaite. So Gemara wants to know now. Good. Now that we know that our Mishnah is not supportive of Rav, so where can we find support for Rav? This idea of double dipping. Of mixas a yom kikulo allowing us to count a day two times over. Elam Makabashal did not. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider maybe we're going to go to the third parak of Moed Katan, where there we have the halacha covers meisur shalshayam and kodemer l'regel, that if you bury 3 days before yantiv, batla mimenu gzer shiva, so you're no longer navelos, because we know that yantiv is going to break shiva. Now, if it confuses you that the Mishnah over there says 3 days, if you bury 3 days prior to Yontif, and we know the halacha is you could be burying on Erev Yontif, you could be burying on the afternoon of Erev Yontif, and still Yontif is going to break the Shiva, so don't be confused. The Mishnah is giving us a position which is not held la halacha. That's not the halacha. The halacha is any amount of Shiva prior to Yontif, Yontif is going to break the Shiva. Fine. Shmona yamim kodem l'regel, bala mimenu gzeir shloshim. Now, what if you did the burial 8 days prior to Yontif? So that means that you had your 7 days of Shiva and your 8th day, and then comes Yontif. So mutter l'saper regel. So now you had, in other words, you finished Shiva, you entered into the pyramid of Shloshim. Shloshim, you're not allowed to get a haircut. But what's Yontif going to do now? Yontif is going to break your Shloshim. Therefore, you're allowed to get a haircut. V'im lo siper, ever regel, also lo saper achar regel. And then, just as a knas, as a penalty, if you didn't get a haircut on Erev Yontif, you're not allowed to get a haircut until after Yontif is over. Abashol Omer, and here's what we want to see right now as it relates to our discussion. Abishol says that just like if you were not allowed, if you didn't get a haircut before, you're allowed to get a haircut after, just like 3 days knocks off Shiva, so to Shiva, I'm sorry, 7 days knocks off Shloshim. What does he mean by that? Meaning that if you did the burial 7 days prior to Yontif, so that means that Erev Yontif was day seven, what we would call the seventh day of Shiva. Abishol is of the opinion that, you know what that is? Yes, it's that day is counted twice. My time to Abishol, la mishum de kasav shviyo, la lakan lakan. Because what's going to be is that seventh day is both your conclusion of your Shiva, using the principle of mitzvah siyam kikulo, and also it's going to count towards now Shloshim. Good. That's the opinion of Abishol, which, by the way, that's the halacha, meaning the halacha accepts the position of Abishol. And therefore, you're allowed to get a haircut for Yontif, meaning Shloshim is broken. As it relates to our discussion now, we have a Tana that Rav can hang himself on. He can connect himself to Abishol, who says that you see that a day can be counted two times over. One is a Shiva day, and also is a Shloshim day. So, Ad kan lo kamar Abishol lebavel zayin derabanan, to which the Gemara says, slow down. We're discussing the halachas of Avelis. The halachas of Avelis are derabanan. Certainly sounds like from our Gemara that Avelis is derabanan, as our Gemara says it pretty straightforward. You'll take a look in the Rush, in the beginning of the third parak of Moed Katan, where there he has a lengthy discussion of long Rushes in Moed Katan. About 100 simanim, 100 paragraphs. But anyway, but you take a look at the Rush over there, and the Rush has a discussion of whether or not Avelis is derabanan, deraisa, or some sort of blend of the two. Anyway, but our Gemara seems to be pretty clear. Either way, Gemara's point is like this. Look, when we're dealing with Avelis, that's a din derabanan. You want to apply the principle of mitzvah siyam kikulo and count one day two times over on a din derabanan? Okay, good. Avah benazir deraisa lo. So the Gemara says, but we're talking about Nazirus. Nazirus is a din daraisa. To which the Gemara says, I don't know if we can take this idea, which is certainly a kula, and apply to a din daraisa. To which the Gemara says, okay, right now we don't have Tana that is reflective of the opinion of Rav. Okay, let's just quickly recap what we saw so far today. Machlokas in, we finished off the discussion today of what about that limbo period between the finishing of your count and the bringing of your kabanos, conclusion of the Gemara. You cannot get a haircut, go to a cemetery, or drink wine. You're subject to Malkus if you do. It's not going to upset your count. You finish counting, but still, it's an Issur Daraisa with a punishable by Malkus to do any of the three Issurim, even after the count. We then did the next Mishnah, and the Mishnah taught us the idea of the ability to count and double dip. Apply the count to both of his commitments to Nazirus. We went through the Tosfos on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where he gave us the rules of when you're allowed to double dip. It's limited. It's a limited application of this rule of double dipping, but you're allowed to double dip under certain circumstances, which Tosfos outlined for us. Rav then gives us even a bigger chiddush, and that is that if your son is born on day 70, that day counts towards your counting and your son's counting, meaning you can take that day and count it two times over, which gives you then another a bonus. In other words, you can bring your kabbonos on day 100. And what we seek to do is see whether or not our Mishnah is supportive of Rav, which the Gemara says it's not. And then what we did today, and we're going to continue doing till the end of the parak, is basically try to find a Tana that's supportive of Rav, that we could take the principle, mix it to Yom Kikulo, allowing us to take one day and count it as two.